Now that's what I call RDU, a New Zealand Music Month special, a 21-episode live podcast series that'll feature discussions from an array of key players across the local music scene, including Ototahi's musical trailblazers, RDU present and past hosts, plus members from RDU's 45-year-old established community. Proudly made with support from 12 Bar. Now that's what I call RDU. 2000 to 2009.
Good morning. You're here with Ben and Josh on the morning after. This is RDU 98.5. We're going through our week in the 2000s.
Yes.
Brought to you by 12 Bar. And today, Ben,
we're here with Amanda and Darlene.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. How does it feel being here, A, on a Wednesday, and B, much earlier?
Wow. It's exhilarating.
I did have to go to bed at 8:30 p.m. last night to make it here, but I'm here, so wow. It's okay.
That's commitment to the cause.
Yeah, the dedication isn't lost on us. Yes. Thank you for being here.
So good. Don't know how you guys do it, but this has been something I've been looking forward to for weeks now.
Oh, that's so nice. I'm peak excited. Wow, we're very excited too. Thank you so much.
So let's set the scene.
Yes.
It's the year 2000.
Yep.
Y2K.
Yep.
So where are you guys, and what's the mindset you're in?
Well, 2000s, we were still in high school, but we are going to sort of more focus on around 2004 to 2007-ish.
Nice. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that was when we were in our peak party time.
I guess we met around 2002, 2003, didn't we?
Uh-huh.
But we really started getting friendly at university. It was our university day.
Yeah, we got together at uni as friends, and then we started DJing at RDU as volunteers.
Cool.
Our first slot was 11 till 1 a.m. on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then we graduated to having a drive show each. So cool. I was on a Thursday, you were on a Tuesday?
I think I was Wednesday. From memory, I think I was Wednesday drive, but it used to be a 3-hour slot.
Ooh.
Yes.
So doing that on your own back in the day, because, you know, everyone would sort of leave and the studio would be empty, it was quite tough, really, because we were on our own. You know, we didn't have the co-host to sort of, you know, banter with. So there were times when it was a little bit long, but, I mean, it was great. I think Darlene was the one who suggested we do RDU.
I think it was something I always wanted to do but didn't have the confidence. And then Amanda was like, come on, let's just do it. That's just what she's like in our friendship. Like, don't be an idiot, just let's go in. And it was sort of a really life-changing thing. So, going back to the show, yes, it was 4 till 7, but the 6 till 7 slot was a specialty hour where you could just choose whatever music you wanted.
Oh, yeah.
Mine was punk, new wave and beyond.
Ooh.
I don't remember what yours was, but sort of through RDU and also through the uni, we were able to be involved in the scene in terms of judging, like, the RDU Roundup or the UCSA Battle of the Bands.
Mm-hmm.
And it just allowed us to be really involved with what was going on as fans, but also as people who, I don't know, got to judge and write articles. Just, it was a really holistic feel because it was, you'd go to live shows, you would be on MySpace, you would be writing things for magazines. It was, there was radio, there was also TV, C4 TV.
C4.
I don't know, it felt really exciting and it felt more multi-pronged to be part of the environment.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, it was a more, you know, the technology, like, MySpace, you boys probably.
My sister was on it, and I remember watching her be on it, but by the time I was old enough, Facebook was out.
See, I think Facebook came in, I think I joined in 2008, so it was still in its infancy, that whole social media phenomenon.
Definitely. It wasn't the be all and end all.
No.
I kind of missed that.
I do too, because, I mean, we both wrote for Canter, so we did, I remember interviewing some bands, I think, and doing, CD reviews, also book reviews. I did a couple of those. So, it was definitely a different feel. You've also, it was sort of the glory years before the earthquake. Mm-hmm. So obviously we'll talk a bit about what town was like, because that was sort of where we spent the majority of our 20s and our partying days, whereas now that town is no more. So it was a different feel. It was a community, you know. We were introduced, obviously, to a lot of musicians through RDU.
Mm-hmm.
We're not musicians ourselves.
No.
I'd like to be. I've flirted with the idea of...
I will say it's very nice that there's other people at RDU that aren't, like, musicians on the side. Because me and Ben aren't either, and I feel like almost everyone else would talk, I do my RDU show, and then I DJ for 7 hours, and I'm like, okay, well, cool.
I know.
I would just say I'm a fan, I'm an appreciator, and someone who's got a geeky interest in it. So we're needed in the scene. We're paying the money. We're buying things.
We're the consumers. Yeah, so it was a different feel, but yeah, are we going to play the first track? Should we do that?
We are, I was just about to ask. The first track we have is Pig Out with Disco Bang.
Yeah, now...
Do you want to tell us a bit about the song?
Oh my gosh. Like, Pig Out, when they came on the scene, they started out as House of Dolls, which was kind of a rocky band, and then they moved to this electro duo, I would say, but they would do live shows, so they'd have a drum kit, they'd have... I actually don't know the names of the machines. A synthesizer, Korg.
Yes.
What are those?
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
So they would, have loops, and there was a live vocalist. Kit and Marie were the sort of main... They were a couple at the time. Kit's from the UK, England, and Marie's from Christchurch.
Hey.
So I would remember seeing them live. It was kind of like a Happy Mondays-esque feel. Mm-hmm. They would actually hand out instruments to the audience, and we would just play along with them. Just good times.
Nice.
A fun vibe and a sound that nobody else was doing at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Fantastic. Well, let's give it a listen.
Mm.
Everything about you, you're a girl, just a set to figure out.
I'm a boy and you're a girl. Should I make it too hard? I'm a boy and you're a girl. Should I make it too hard? I'm a boy and you're a girl. Should I make it too hard? I'm a boy. You're a girl. I'm a boy.
Pig Out with Disco Bag, a great song. Really
did you like fun. It? Had you heard it before?
I'd never heard it before, but it was really cool.
It's a classic.
Very interesting. Yeah.
So it's from their debut album, Club Poems, and the bass player on that track is actually Nick Hart from the Shocking Pinks.
Ooh.
Have you heard of them? Not sure.
I've heard the name, but not much of their music, I'll admit.
Yeah, I don't know if we should segue into talking about the Shocking Pinks, but that's also kind of a... They were a key band of that era.
Well, I was going to ask, who were the kind of key figures, the people that were really relevant at the time that you guys were, you know, in your self-proclaimed party phase going to and seeing live?
It was a, you know, party phase / work with RDU, but
it all blends together.
Yeah, key players. I mean, let's talk about bands first, shall we?
Well, I mean, we had a lot of bands from out of Christchurch perform, so it wasn't all, you know, all about the Christchurch scene. There were, of course, bands that went through Battle of the Bands and Roundup, like the Tiger Tones, which we'll talk, I think we're going to play one of their songs a bit later.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Nick Hart with the Shocking Pinks and Pig Out. So there were, you know, there was local music, Frazenbury, and we also got a lot of other acts from around New Zealand. It was sort of Mintchick's time, early days.
The national scene was huge. When I say huge for New Zealand, I suppose. There was live music played every weekend.
Yeah.
There were multiple venues that you'd go to see that, just due to the fact that I think media was so holistic, like I mentioned earlier, there were opportunities for musicians. So, you know, you could get a music video played on C4, you could go on tour nationwide and get help from a guy called Blink who did a low hum. So there was lots of help for musicians to be able to succeed.
Well, also, live music was the way to get your music out there because this was before Spotify. So this is before we had all the access digitally to music.
This was the CD era.
CDs were all the rage. And, I think... My CD collection, darling, I don't know about you, but I got so many CDs from RDU, like old ones, and they'd be like, oh, do you want these? I was like, yeah. I think I took every single free CD that they offered.
I mean, why would you not? Anytime I get offered free stuff, like, even if I don't want it, I'll be like, well, it is free, so I'm going to take it.
Yeah, if I don't want it, I'll just put it outside the house. Someone will take it.
But sort of some main proponents of the scene at the time, I would say, would be Bennett Hitchcock. Mm-hmm. So his music name is Dr. Hitchcock, and he was the founder of the Mixtape Connection. That, I believe, started in 2004. I'll just consult my notes here, fellas.
We'll consult the archives real quick.
Yes. So it was a collective of musicians and DJs based in Christchurch with a rock electro sound. Yeah. And Bennett did a show on RDU called the Mixtape Sessions and sort of brought it into a club night. So there'd be DJs, there'd be bands. Pig Out played there. Amanda and I DJ'd there
nice.
With CDs at the time.
Very cool.
It was really fun.
It was a highlight. And I mean, it was largely, it was sort of advertised through RDU. So there was a lot of RDU listeners there. But also, I think it was at a place called Capital Bar, which was an underground bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we ever went there
pre-connection,
we,
no.
We ne- mm. I don't think I ever remember going there that wasn't a mixtape connection. So it used to be once a month, I believe on a Friday, the last Friday or the first Friday, last Friday. So, yeah, it used to be something that we really look forward to, and it was kind of the social event for their music, sort of alternative music scene in Christchurch and all of us. So, yeah, a lot of our friends went and, you know, we'd be in the alleyway smoking cigarettes because back then it was socially acceptable and everyone was a social smoker except Arlene.
Wow. Never smoked.
Wow. Never smoked. Yeah. I know.
Good for you.
Round of applause. Thanks.
So, yeah, I mean, it was a real vibe, you know. It would go to the early hours of the morning. Mm. It was back in the day when you used to drink and then go to town at like 10:30.
Yeah, drink a bowl of red wine, head in, buy one drink.
It's nice to know some things haven't changed.
Yeah. And now it's like I have one beer after work and I just fall asleep on the couch at 7:30. You know, that's me done.
I buy myself one nice beer and I'm like, that's it. I'm good.
Yeah.
Let's get to the second track, which is Shocking Pigs. Secondhand Girl. Am I right in saying that?
Yes.
That is the one. Yeah, Nick Hart. Yes. So he's from the Shocking Pinks. And I remember just there'd be posters around town all the time. I'd never heard of the Shocking Pinks, but then all of a sudden there'd be posters like, Shocking Pinks, last show.
Huh.
Then the shows would be really packed, and then it would be the second last show. But Nick Hart ended up getting a bit of international recognition as well. Mm-hmm. So
he dated my flatmate, so I spent quite a bit of time with him.
Humble brag.
I think I walked in on them in bed, just sleeping.
I did too.
Accidentally.
A couple of times.
So, lots of...
Take us
it
back.
It was a small community, but we... Yeah.
Everyone kind of knew each other.
Exactly.
It seems, yes.
So this is from
the
album Infinity Land, and it is called Secondhand Girl.
All right. Well, let's give it a listen. Is it the one that's in there at the moment? It is the
Should
one that's
be.
In there.
Oh, wait.
See, the wonder of
no,
CDs.
No, it's not.
Oh.
It can be in there.
What was the other one queued up?
Actually, I think that was Tiger Tones in there. Was this.
Cool. So maybe on that one and do both, one after the other.
Okay, so we'll start with Tiger Tones.
Let's do that.
They were an RDU Roundup winner. Why don't we play the track and we can talk about them
easy.
After that?
Sounds good to me.
Saturday Nights.
Yeah. if I arrive on your doorstep? Could you hold in your tears? You let them go like falling stars.
We're back, aren't we, Benjamin?
Yes, we are back.
We're back.
We're
talking turn to me.
With the Mandarin,
so
Darlene, of course, sponsored by 12 Bar. We're moving through the ages. Now, that's what I call RDU indeed. And what were some of the biggest bands at the time?
Absolutely, the Shocking Pinks, who we played.
Yes.
The Tiger Tones as well.
You mean locally or nationally?
Well, let's go Christchurch.
Let's go locally
because we're focusing on Christchurch. Well, funnily enough, I do have a wee CD compilation here, which is called This Is Not the Christchurch Sound Volume 1. I believe there was only Volume 1 of that.
Yeah.
But it was produced by the Mixtape Sessions and RDU at the time, so... On the back here, these are some people I remember. There was Tom Cosm, who was more of an electro sound.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Music did an amazing live show. He would wear kind of like, I feel like he would wear a lot of lycra and glasses with like one lens.
The one big strap. Yeah.
Charlie Ash, who I completely forgot about.
I interviewed them. They're great.
Yep. Pig Out.
Familiar with them.
Also, the Transistors. So, just a wee side note for them. I was one of the judges for the UCSA Battle of the Bands on behalf of RDU, and that was the year that they entered. And so I was able to judge the entire competition from start to end, and they just absolutely blew me away with their sound. I mean, it's music that I personally like.
Yeah.
Their influences and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But their live show was phenomenal, and they're still playing to this day.
Wow.
So I was part of the team who allowed them to win the competition.
Nice.
And, so they were huge as well. Anyone else that you remember?
Not really. I mean, we got a lot of national bands touring. Mm-hmm. There was an event called Camp Lo Hum, which was run by, what was his nickname?
Blink.
So they used to put out these sort of zines, I guess you'd call them, of bands, national bands. And then there was this event called Camp Lo Hum, which featured, it was sort of like a mini festival.
Mm-hmm. It was like a big day out over a couple of days with all New Zealand indie bands.
Cool.
Yeah, there were a lot of names.
Where was I? Never
it was
went.
It was in Wellington-ish area, a small
That's
town.
Right.
Last night I was trying to remember, was it Bulls or Foxton or something weird like that? I don't know.
One of those ones.
One
of those ones you never hear about unless you're going there.
Yeah. So it was like a camping sort of festival experience.
Cool.
And of course, Big Day Out was still going back then.
Oh, of course. Were things like, Battle of the Bands and, live gigs and all that kind of stuff, was that still, because what we've heard from, you know, people in the 80s and 90s is, you know, live shows and things like that, was that just was the way you heard about new music.
Yes.
Was that still the way you were hearing about new music in the 2000s, or was it starting to shift a little bit more to maybe you were seeing more things on the internet or stuff like that?
I honestly, we are a bit different because we were on RDU, were exposed to so much via RDU.
Yes.
They were the way to get music out.
Yeah.
I would have heard of them through RDU and C4 Music TV.
Nice.
And you would attend live shows just as a normal thing to do. The internet was not a big player.
No.
In it,
well, let's talk about the Ducks Deluxe as well. So I don't know if you boys remember the Ducks at all.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, pre-earthquake, the Ducks Deluxe was obviously a real big venue, and it had this sort of separate area where a lot of bands, and I think they had the Battle of the Bands there, or was it Roundup one year?
Roundup.
Mm-hmm. So it was an awesome venue. So I remember just, you know, they'd have bands and we might not have heard of them, but obviously we'd go and watch and then we'd get into them. You know, it was a real, you know, different feeling in the city, I think. And that's, you know, it makes me sad to think back and think of, you know, we had like His Lordship's Lane and Poplar Lane popped up later in the 2000s. So, yeah, all the venues obviously not there anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And related to Smash Palace, there was a bar called Goodbye Blue Monday, which was run by the same people, but that was, so it's a real, you know, it's different. And obviously after the earthquake, there wasn't a lot of live music around.
No.
But, you know, prior to that, it was really...
It was thriving.
It was thriving.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we'll get back to that eventually?
Yes, I do. I think I was thinking about how this era was different to today. I can't really comment with certainty because we were so much younger at that time. But people like Jamie, who works at RDU, he made the Sickest Smashest compilation.
Yes.
What is it called?
Sickest Smashest?
Yeah, Sickest Smashest compilation. Smashes. There's a lot of bands around, and I think we're slowly getting back to that. But the key players, you know, people like Blink, who were helping bands tour, people like Tim Beard, who ran Pina Colada Records and were putting music out, people like Bennett Hitchcock doing a regular club night. I don't think there are that kind of people around at the moment.
Cornerstones. Yeah.
Cornerstones, they really, really were. And if that was to happen again, I think it could all start thriving again because the internet doesn't compare to a live show.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Well, we've got one last song to play, Transistors with Two Shadows.
Yes.
Please tell us about this track.
I just remember this track from the earliest sets of the Transistors, probably going back to the Battle of the Bands era, and just a good old kick-ass punk track.
Nice.
Their live shows are amazing, and I just really like it.
Wonderful. Well, hell yeah. Amanda and Darlene, thanks so much for coming into the studio this morning and for talking to us about the 2000s and for playing all these songs that otherwise we wouldn't have heard. I feel so enlightened.
Genuinely.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, right. We loved it.
No worries. Do you guys want to shout anything out, you know? Do you want to tell people where they can find you or listen to you on RDU?
Oh, yeah, of course. So we do Fridays with Darlene and Amanda on, obviously Friday morning, 9:30 to 11:30. Yeah. So we'll be here this week.
We will, and I might play some stuff that I missed.
Yeah. You know,
half an hour, it just flies by. Oh, so
it really does.
Yeah, no?
I remember when we started, and I was like, that's so long, half an hour. And then by like the second show, I was like, it's not long enough.
No.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Well, anyway, this is Transistors with Two Shadows. Let's give it a listen. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Now That's What I Call RDU, a retrospective series that dives deep into the stories, the people and the music that shaped RDU 98.5 FM, proudly made with support from 12 Bar. Now That's What I Call RDU.